need to understand if the Lord moves in what area He moves in, we need to be sensitive and let our faith grow in that area. And you don't need to think that when a preacher preaches conviction begins to fall. Don't think at all that you should not help him preach because it's not high. Amen. We should respond to conviction. We should respond to old-time apostolic preaching. We should respond when a preacher preaches about hell. Amen. Amen. And I don't want you to be out of touch tonight in this message. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, look at somebody beside you and say, your adversary. Your adversary, the devil. That means you. Bible says he is as a roaring lion, and he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There's a real devil. There's a real hell. Sin is very much alive today. I did not know, though I thought that I might, I did not know that I would be preaching this message in this revival, because I have preached it here before. And I had no idea that I would be preaching it tonight until just a few minutes ago. But I feel the Holy Ghost wants to touch us. I want all you children, any children in here, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, will you lift your hand if you're in that age bracket, 11 years old? Come on, I want some children's hands to go up right now. Come on, hurry, 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 hurry. These children need the Holy Ghost. These children need to know what it's like to lay in this altar and weep before the Lord. Hallelujah. They need to know what it's like for their emotions to be moved in church and not from a television set. I'm telling you, we live in the hour today to where you can preach to children that has not been raised in church, and some of them that has been raised in church. You can preach about hell and they're not affected. It does not move them. Let me tell you something. When my father preached about hell when I was a boy, I was the first one to hit the altar. I don't want to go to hell. Well, we don't need to lose that sensitivity, amen, in our kids. That they need to be sensitive. When they reach a certain age, the church don't need to be a game to them. They don't need to be playing with toys. They don't need to be talking and doing. The church is not a place to do homework. Well, hallelujah. I feel that old-time spirit getting on me tonight. Amen. Church is not a place to bring coloring books. Amen. Amen. They should respect the house of God. They should understand this is a place where God dwells. This is a place where we sit and we listen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, amen. Will you children listen to me preach tonight? Can I have your attention? Amen. I want God to touch us. I want to preach tonight on this subject, your adversary, a roaring lion. Amen. Your adversary, a roaring lion. I want God to touch us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we need you tonight, Lord. Let's lay down our Bibles and lift our hands and pray right now. Could you do that, everybody? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, come on, every voice lifted unto the Lord. Every voice lifted unto the Lord. Every voice lifted unto the Lord. Oh, is there a desire in this house, God? Oh, is there a desire in this house, God, for You? We want there to be, Lord. We want there to be, Lord. We want to learn of You. We want to be sensitive to You, God. Hallelujah! Oh, praise God! Praise God! Praise God! Hallelujah! 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 I love You, God. I love You, God. I love You, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Before we are seated, I want us to reach over, and if it's appropriate, I want you to put your hand on someone's shoulder, and I want us to pray for each other right now. that God would cleanse our minds and help us to be sensitive in this service. Would you do that, everybody? Come on, join together. Let's pray. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Lord visiting us already tonight. Shake us, Jesus. Touch us, Jesus. Oh, in the name of the Lord God. In the name of the Lord God. Amen. You can be seated. I never want to get away from preaching about the love of God. God loves every one of us in this building tonight. God is definitely a God of love. He knows us. He understands us. He watches us. God tries to do everything He can to save us. I've got, amen, a message that God has been dealing with me about for a while. I've never preached, and it is the God who pursues. Amen. He does everything He can to reach humanity. He tries to talk to you on your job, in your car, at your house, in the church. He's always giving mankind an opportunity to know Him and to be introduced to Him. He studies you and watches you and gives you, amen, chance after chance to make things right and to come before Him with repentance and with praise upon your lips. Amen. So you need to understand that there is a God that cares for your life. Oh, yes, He does. Bible even says that the hairs of our head are numbered. That's how much He knows about you. He knows where you live. He knows your name. He knows your parents' name and your grandparents' name. He knows the very lineage of your family. This God that I'm preaching about tonight understands your temptation. He knows what frustrates you. He knows what you struggle with in sin. He knows that the besetting sins you have affect you in a great way. Amen. God knows the thought of your mind. God knows the very intent of your very heart. God knows what you've done yesterday. God knows what you've done today. God knows what you're going to do tomorrow. You can hide things from your spouse. You can hide things from your parents. But you can never hide anything from God. Right. He studies you and He watches you. That's not something to be afraid of. That's not something that anybody should fear at all in their life. You should not fear. You should not be dismayed that God understands your temptations. Amen. I want you to know tonight that I have failures in my own life. I have sins that I struggle with. You know why? Because I am flesh. You are flesh. God knows those things that I struggle with. God sees them. That's not a negative message. That's not a negative thought. Amen. That is a very positive thing to look upon. You know what it's like, and I know what it's like. Amen. To be struggling with a temptation. And it seems like you cannot find a way of escape. And that sin is overpowering your life. And you've contemplated it. You've thought about it. Amen. And you might even think about doing it. And you might even failed and have done it. But trying to get victory over it. That same very day you might walk into the church house. And the preacher begins to preach. And in that message he gets on that sin. And begins to preach about that besetting sin. It might be just a passage that is not even his message at all. And all of a sudden he mentions that and starts to preach about it. And you feel conviction settle on you. And tears bowl up in your eyes and begin to run down your face. What is that? That's God knowing your temptation. And that's God saying, I've given you a way of escape. That you can fall in an altar of repentance and say, God, you've shown me again. You preach, come on now, I need some help tonight. God, you've preached to me again. God, you've read my mail again. God, you've told me your concern. You've seen what I fought today. You've seen what I struggled with today. But you did not leave me to die. God loves us and God knows our temptations, but with every temptation, the Bible says He will make a way of escape. But I want to tell you something tonight. There's a spirit called the devil that also knows who you are. He knows where you live. He knows who your mother is and who your daddy is. He knows everything about you. He knows your temptations also. Do you know that? The devil knows your temptations. He does not read your mind, but he reads your actions. And if he shows you this, he watches how you respond to it. And if he lets you hear this, he watches how you respond to it. So he studies you as a lion studies its prey. He watches your every move. Amen. That he may be able to trap you. That he may be able to throw you a stumbling block. That you might lose your walk and your relationship with God. There is a devil that watches every one of us. There is a spirit that watches every one of us. Amen. He tries to tempt us. He tries to lure us. He tries to seduce us. As he did Adam and as he did Eve in the Garden of Eden. Amen. In the part of country that the writer that I read to you from tonight lived in, this man by the name of Peter, the apostle, in the part of the country where he lived in, I want you to understand, he knew what he was talking about when he wrote this scripture. I do not believe Peter did not have any past or any experience or any knowledge of lions, because in foreign countries, lions are very much at prey. We don't fight them in America like they do in foreign countries. But in the hour when Peter wrote the scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, he very much knew what he was writing about. There is a reason why he penned those words that we read about tonight. It's not by chance. Amen. I know that he had experience. He had to pen the words that he penned. Let my mind wonder, if I may, because lions were prevalent in the day that the scripture was written about. I believe that Peter, probably as men of old did, began to pray and ask God, when I write, dear Lord, the scripture, let me write something that will help humanity. Let it not be just words of knowledge, but let it be words filled with anointing, filled with instruction, filled with your power of inspiration. I am sure that Peter prayed this prayer as he began to write, that he wanted to write to us about our adversary. He wanted to write to us about the one that we fight day by day. That the one that challenges us. The one that tries to corrupt all of humanity. Peter wanted to make sure he could pick something out that we could look at that beast and say, that is just like the devil that I fight on a daily basis. Amen. And so, I am sure that God began to take him back from the times he was a boy. Because spirits cannot be seen as much as beasts can be seen. I know that people have seen spirits before. My father has. Other ministers has. But they're not seen on a daily basis. You cannot just get up and see spirits all around you. And so I am sure that Peter said, God, let me write about something that they can look at and study and read about and say, that's what I'm fighting. Amen. And so, I'm sure his mind went back to the time to where, as a boy, he heard the cries of the village. As people would awaken in the darkness of the night and they would scream. As he heard the roar of the lion. And his mother would grab Kim and run with Kim, and knowing that the lion had came into the village again and taken a man, boy, or girl, because lions are man-eating animals. I am sure that Peter had known what it was like, if not seen it himself, heard the shepherd talk about it time and time again. They were around shepherds in his day. He heard the shepherd talk about the time that a lion, when the shepherd accidentally turned its back, that the lion emerged from the black forest. And as quickly as he came out of the darkness of the trees, disappeared back into that forest yet again, but this time with the lamb hanging from its jaws. I'm sure that he went over thought after thought. He thought of a beast of the field out. He thought about the leopard. He thought about the crocodile. He thought about the bear. He thought about everything that he could. And there is a reason why he said, "Your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion." Out of all the beasts that he could pick from, it's not coincidence he picked a lion. I have some books that some of you have read before, the name of Peter Capstick, a man that hunted in Africa for some time. This man was a what they call a trouble hunter. He hunted for the government of Africa. A trouble hunter is one that when a lion goes in on a feeding spree, or a leopard, or whatever kind of animal it is that starts feeding on human beings. The village in that day, it's not as bad as it used to be, but it's still prevalent today in East Africa and other parts of the country in Africa. Peter Capstick would be the one that the village would try to call the government. They would make call after call. Once they sent word through people that once someone got to a city, they would go to an office of the government again and say, "Already 9 people have been eaten from this village. We need someone to kill this lion." They would not act on that message until 9, 10, 15, 20 was killed, because lions went on feeding sprees so much in that day. That when they did act on the message, they would call this man Peter Capstick. And he would go in and hunt what was called troubled animals, that were animals that fed on people. He would follow the blood trail from that village that took it from where the lion took its last victim. He would follow it into the long grass, and there he would find that man-eating animal and hunt it down and kill it. A dangerous job. When you read the books that he has written, a lot of close calls that he had, a lot of his friends who were professional hunters themselves, finally at one time or another, the lion outsmarted them, and they became the victim instead of the lion. So, when Peter Capstick writes about this beast, he knows what he's talking about. He killed hundreds of them. He died a few years ago in Africa of a natural death. And I want to give you a few stories quickly tonight to get your mindset to what Peter is talking about when he wrote that scripture. Because you, as Americans, don't understand what a true lion is like. You don't understand the nature of a lion. You don't know what it's like to fear letting your kids play in the yard because a lion's going to attack them. You don't know what it's like to go to bed of a night worrying that a lion's going to jump through your window and eat you before you wake up. That's not something we live in the United States of America. You're used to seeing lions in the zoo. But you ever wonder why there's a big high wall between you and those lions? Yeah, you ever wonder why there's signs that says don't feed them? And signs that says keep at a certain distance from them? And don't stick your hands over the wall and in the cage and so on? You ever wonder why? Because they are beasts. They are animals. They are not pets. Amen. And to get your mindset to what I'm trying to preach tonight, in the books that Peter Capstick wrote, I will only quickly tell you a few. There is story after story after story. I was in a game reserve park in Kenya a few years ago when I was in Africa. It's called the Serengeti. Many of you have read about it in National Geographic magazine. You have read about it in other animal magazines. This park is a park that we don't understand how it is as a park. Parks in America are not like parks in Africa. Amen. I believe Brother Sonny can vouch for that. Amen. When we cross the gates into the Serengeti. Serengeti is a national reserve park to where there are literally thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of animals. Up in the millions of herds of animals. And when we cross in the gate, there's a little lean-to hut that a couple guards stay in, and a little gate there, and a little place you can go use a restroom with big lizards about this long crawling all over the walls. And when you cross the gate, there's a sign that just somebody wrote it on there. It says, "Enter in at your own risk. We are not responsible for any deaths, any maulings, any bitings." And so, 6 hours we drove across this plain. 6 hours. We might have saw one or two human beings, and they were Mosai, tribesmen that drink blood, wear red, live in manure and mud huts. But very, 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 very few of them. Because Serengeti is a place where animals roam. And we've seen thousands of animals. 6 hours, no telephone wires. No sign of humanity other than a few Mosai. No gas stations at all. You have to carry extra tanks of gas in your car if you're going to cross this place. But we did see thousands of animals. It's nothing but wildlife. I've got pictures of lions, full-grown female lions, from about me to that pew. But I promise you, the windows was rolled up and the engine was running. Because these lions are not tame. They are looking for a fresh meal. And I didn't feel like being eaten. Hallelujah. In that same park in Kenya, the Serengeti, a lion attacked an automobile and grabbed a little boy by the skull and dragged him out of his mother's arms as they toured through that park. In that same park, a photographer was taking some pictures for a magazine and stayed all night in his tent. And as he slept that night, he was pulled out of his tent by his head and eaten from his head down to his toenails by a wild lion. There was a railroad being built there, and some men working in construction. One of the men awoken one night, not knowing by fear that something was watching him, not knowing by a noise or what it was. But he awakened to the blackness of night, and as he sat up in that tent, when his eyes focused to the door of that tent, there was a full-grown lion looking back at him. But before he could scream and give his friends any warning at all, this lion jumped through the door of that tent and grabbed the man sleeping closest to the door around the neck and began to drag him out of that tent and his sleeping bags. And as their friends tried to do what they could not rescue their friend from that lion. They watched as their friend tried to beat that lion with his fists in the head as its jaws was around its neck. But let me tell you, a man is no match for a full-grown lion. To their dismay and horror, another lion came from the underbrush and grabbed their friend by the legs. And they watched as they played tug-of-war. And they ripped his body limb from limb and fed on this man in front of them. Lions are not toys. Lions are not pets. They are very, very vicious animals. You better watch a man also, because Peter described this is how vicious the devil is. You better watch how close you sleep to the door of the church, my friend. You should never be one of those that says, "What can I get by with? How close can I get to the edge?" Because when the devil starts snooping around the church, you're going to be his first prey. I want to get as close to the altar as I can get. I want to get as close to God as I can get. He is the only one that can protect my life. Oh, let's praise the Lord again tonight. Woo! Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. A male lion fully grown weighs between 350 and 500 pounds. He is 9 foot long. He stands 3.5 feet at the shoulders. He can run 35 miles an hour. He can see clearly in the pitch black of night. Is that not another description of your adversary? He does not do his greatest work when the sun is shining bright. But when the sun goes down in the blackness of the night, he begins to rape. He begins to murder. He begins to molest. He begins to rob.
This lion can run down, leap upon, snap the back, destroy, and drag away a 600-pound zebra. It would take 6 full-grown men to drag that same zebra in the underbrush. But a lion can do it by himself. Like a rag doll, 600 pounds, he picks it up in his jaws and moves away swiftly. Charging lions have been known to cover 100 yards in just over a few seconds. That's a football field. 1, 2, 3. He's cleared it from one end to the other. Think you could outrun him? Typical charge from a lion from 60 feet away. Peter Capstick says, takes the blinking of an eye. He's on you that quick. From 60 feet, the snap of a finger. Most of the lions that Peter Capstick ever shot, he trailed them. And he knew somewhere in that trail they was going to backtrack and they was going to start chasing him. They was going to be looking for him because they can smell, they can hear, they can see. And he said most of the lions he shot were in midair, charging him when he got off the first shot. Because they can charge so quickly. Amen, you cannot dodge them. The railroad that I spoke about is called the Lunatic Line. After I read these books, matter of fact is, I believe just a couple of years ago, Hollywood produced a movie about the same story that I'm preaching about right now. It's called the Lunatic Line. It was a railroad that was going to be built in Africa. It stretched hundreds of miles through Africa. They was building it to bring in cargo and all kinds of food and so on. It started in 1896 and it ended in 1901. But in 1898, 2 years after they had been working on this track, the track came to a place that was called the Tsavo River. When I was there with Brother Wheeler, Brother Wheeler's been at this church, you all know him. When I was there, when we hunted there, we was about 100 miles from the Tsavo River. When they reached this river, they had to build a bridge to cross it. And that's when they encountered something they never thought they would encounter. 2 man-eating lions, 2 female-eating lions went on a feeding spree there and began to eat off the construction workers that were there to build that bridge. They said at one point they had to shut the construction down for 3 weeks because all the men left because they thought they was going to be the next one that was the lion's dinner. A fear came upon those men. They thought the lions were some kind of witch or some kind of devil. And 2 years it took for them to finally kill the first lion. And in those 2 years, every night, that lion would take another. Both of those lions would take someone else. By the time they had shot the first one, it alone had eaten 125 men. George Rusby hunted down 15 man-eating lions. By the time he had killed them all, they had eaten some 1,500 natives. 100 humans apiece that they devoured on. What are you talking about tonight, preacher? You're preaching about a devil that don't play games. You're preaching about a devil that's very quick. He's very angry. And he's very hungry for your soul. I'm preaching to you about a devil that should never be joked with, but should be taken seriously. Who are you talking about? Who's this lion that Peter speaks about? I'll tell you who he is. He's your adversary. You know, while I'm preaching tonight, this devil that I'm preaching to you about will try to whisper in your ear. He's not preaching to you. He's preaching to the one beside you. He's preaching, oh, I wish so-and-so was here so they could hear this. He tries to put the message off on everybody else. You know why? He don't want you to face the facts. He's after you. It don't matter if you're a preacher. It don't matter if you've been in church 40 years. You have an adversary. He never stops following. He never stops trailing. He never stops seeking. He is always on his job. Peter did not stop there. He said he's not just a lion. He is a roaring lion. One who is hungry. One who is angry. One who is very bold. Amen. And he did not stop there. He said not only is he your adversary. Not only. only is he a roaring lion, but he also is seeking whom he may devour. He didn't say wound. He didn't say maim. He didn't say injure. He said devour. There's a difference. Peter Capp 6 there. He would follow the trail of the last victim. Most of the time, a small carcass in a tree, a leg here, a finger there. And he said one time the only thing he found was a piece of the man's jawbone that the lion took, because he said this, lions devour their prey. They eat everything that they can. The devil's not satisfied with you just getting cold in church. He's not satisfied with you, young person, just kind of slipping. He's not satisfied with you, sir or ma'am, just kind of backsliding. You know, he's not. If that was the case, why would he not let you just backslide but never offer you a drug, never offer you a cigarette, never tempt you to take a drink, never tempt you to commit adultery on your spouse? Amen. If that was the case, he'd never do that. But you know, he don't stop there. Why? He's interested in one thing, not to kill you, but to destroy you. Devils devour their prey. He wants to make you a laughing stock. He wants to work on you in the depths of sin to where there's not enough left to even say they're a sane human being any longer. He wants to destroy your mind. He wants to steal your morals away from you. Well, you might not believe me. He wants to turn every one of you young men into homosexuals. He wants to turn every one of you young girls into prostitutes on the streets of Oklahoma City. That's his desire, because he devours. This, I want you to think about something. You think you're so good that you can outsmart him in the flesh. Now, I'm going to tell you, the devil that is your adversary is the same devil that drives the man to rape and molest and murder. The same devil that's after you is the same devil that drives a man to walk into a Walmart parking lot and randomly shoot people with a gun and then pull the trigger on his own self. The same devil that's after you, young person, is the same devil that gets on those young men, that steals guns from a home and walks in their public school and begins to shoot people like clay pigeons in the air. Are you hearing me? You might look at that and say, I'll never go there. I'll never do that. You let sin get a hold of you. You can't control it any longer. You can't stop it any longer. It'll take you further than you ever thought you would ever go. It's alive. It's powerful. It's a beast. Better work on your marriage, sir. Better have prayer in your home, ma'am. Because the same devil that has broken up family after family is after your family. And if he did it before, he'll do it again, unless you get a hold of God. Hallelujah. I'm in the will of God tonight. Oh, Jesus. When a man-eating lion, who is very wise and has hunted for a long time, this lion comes to a ring of sleepers, whether it's by a campsite, construction site in the bush area, hunters, whatever it is. They say this lion's very, very, very wise. He knows what he's doing. He comes to the one closest to the door. And slips in with those huge but silent paws, creeping like a cat. The cat that he is, he walks to the door of the tent making no noise. He opens his jaws and places it over the head of the one sleeping closest. Lion knows one thing. If I can get a man out of that tent without making any noise, the other ones aren't going to awake. I can come back for another one. And if I don't awaken them then, I can come back for another one. And they say a wise lion can clean out an entire tent of men and have food for a couple of days. So how does he do it? He raises his massive jaws and he puts his head over, or his mouth over the head of that man. This is a real lion's tooth. That came from Africa. The Mosai there hunt lions with their spears, and with about 20, am I right, Brother Sonny, between 15, 20, 25 men, they chase these lions down and corner them. When the lion goes to make a move, these men surround the lion, and when the lion goes to make a move, the one that he moves after has to duck and stick the spear in the lion's chest and actually drive the back of the spear in the ground and pole vault him over. And when the lion hits the ground, all the other Mosai stab it, and that's how they kill lions. So they had killed a lion that was feeding on their cattle. When lions begin to migrate, they begin to feed on the Mosai's cattle, and so they have to kill them to save their cattle. And this tooth came from one of the lions that they killed in the bush area. This lion raises jaws. I want you to imagine this. Raises his jaw over the head of that human being, and his fangs he puts in the eye and in the back of the head. And with one quick chomp, he closes his jaws, and the fangs sink into the brain, and instantly the man dies. Never whimpers, never makes a sound. Dies. That quick. You ever wonder that the devil don't come in the midst of revival like this and just take all the young people at one time? He don't just come for the Harris right in the middle of a great move of God and take half your church. He works on them one at a time. And I have watched why some churches slept in their carnality with no prayer, no fastings, no submitting unto God, no sensitivity in the Spirit. There's a reason why Paul said, it's high time to awake out of your sleep, because our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Paul understood there's devils roaming around the church. And I've seen people that when they finally came to their senses in the Spirit of God, almost all of their young people were gone. You let me tell you, he's going to come in and he's going to take them one by one. When you see one young person getting carnal, you see one person in your church that it seems like they're going to backslide, there ought to be a cry of prayer going up in the church. God, get their attention. God, awaken their soul. Let them understand there's a lion roaming around the tent. There's a devil that's watching every move that they make. Let's pray right now. Everybody pray. Lift your hands and talk to God. Would you lift your voice loud, 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 loud? Loved ones, we need a burden. Is anybody hearing me tonight? I am preaching to you. It's not time to sit down. It's not time to give up. It's not time to stand back. If we ever done a work for God, we need to be doing it right now. Somebody's got to be awakened, because there is a devil that watches you. Backslide is because the church never prays for them when they see them getting cold. It's much easier to judge than to pray. It's much easier to accuse than to pray. God, give us a burden. God, give us a burden. I want to tell you something. The lion in the Bible is not only portrayed as an example of the devil, but in numerous occasions, the lion is merely portrayed as a beast with tremendous power. Oh, hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 30 and 30 says, a lion is the strongest among beasts. And when Judah's father began to pronounce the blessings on all of his sons, before he went on to be with the Lord, in Genesis 49 and 9, when he got down to his son by the name of Judah, he said, Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. He said, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, the Bible says. You crouch as a lion, as an old lion, who shall rouse him up. And Judah, what he was telling that boy was, you're going to be a strong man in God. God's going to fight your battles. You stay submitted to God. There is no telling where God is going to take you. And we find that the tribe of Judah became the strongest tribe in all of Israel. They were victorious over the devil. They were victorious over their enemy. And the lion was their symbol. They put it on their fighting gear. They put it on their shields. They let the lion wave on their flag. Judah means praise. I tell you what they done. They understood God is the lion. He is the strongest that there is. There is no other power than that comes from Almighty God. Oh, somebody needs to praise the Lord a moment with me. Come on, give Him some praise right now. Woo. Oh, we can do better than that. We can do better than that. Judah means praise. They never cease to give God the glory for their victories. They understand if we get victory, God gave us the victory. And Revelations 5 and 5 says, weep not. Behold the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed. What is the writer saying? In the end time, God's the winner. God's victorious. God's the lion that is bolder, stronger, mightier than the devil. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Read me Psalms 91:11. Let me tell you, there is a bigger lion than your adversary.
For he shall give his angels charge over thee.
Come on, read it like you're preaching it.
For he shall give his angels charge over thee.
Yeah.
To keep thee in all thy ways.
All thy ways. Read on.
They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone.
Hear it now.
Thou shalt tread upon the lion.
Upon the what?
Upon the lion.
Upon the what?
Upon the lion.
Go ahead.
An adder.
What else does it say?
The young lion.
The young lion.
And the dragon.
And the dragon.
Shalt thou trample under feet.
Shalt you trample under your feet. The lion is a big adversary, but my God is greater. Greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. I can overcome the devil. I can overcome the devil. I've got a bigger God. I've got a greater power. What does verse 14 say?
Because he has set his love upon me.
Why can you be able to tread upon the lion?
Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name.
You ain't no match for the devil by yourself, but you get full of the power of God. You let the Lord fill you with the Holy Ghost. That devil ain't big enough. That devil ain't bad enough. That devil ain't... Is anybody hearing me? He ain't smart enough to outsmart my God. Oh, let's take a moment and praise Him, the one who gives us victory. Come on, love the Lord. Woo! God's a deliverer. I said, God's a deliverer. You don't have to backslide. Are you hearing me, young person? You ain't got to go to the world. You ain't got to give up your standard. You ain't got to compromise the doctrine. There's a great big God who will overshadow you, who will empower you to overcome the wicked one of this generation. I got a God that loves me. I got a God that cares for me. I got a God who is from the tribe of Judah, and He is an overcomer. All He wants is some acknowledgement that He can do it. A little praise that He can do it. Oh, let's pray one more time and ask God to touch us. Hallelujah. Woo. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost walking in this. There is no telling what God can do for you in this house. Oh, help us, Lord. Let me tell you something. You are never, ever, taken many just like you that forgot God. Peter Capstick said something that stood out to me. From McDonald, he said, leopards, hyenas, elephants, hippos, crocodiles. He said, all of these are all man-eating animals that somewhere in their lineage, somewhere you can look back in history, all of them has been known to eat humans. Some more than others, but all of them have the capability of eating a human. He said, but the lions hold the record for killing the most famous. He said, some of the greatest hunters that killed hundreds of lions, one day they met their match. And the lion outsmarted them. Judas, you might walk with him. You might watch him feed the thousands. You might watch him raise the dead. You might see every miracle he's performed. But Judas, you better understand, there's still a devil. How many preachers? Hallelujah. How many preachers after 40 years they built church? How many preachers my ministry will never touch what theirs was? They built churches of hundreds. They evangelized the world. Miracles and souls from their ministries. Brother Hedger, but one day, after year after year after year of slaying devils, they put their guard down. The devil holds the record for killing the famous. He holds the record for... You might go to church. You might know what's right. You might know what it's like to feel... the Holy Ghost. You might know what it's like to see God deliver and God to heal, but you better understand, you have an adversary. Let's pray. Let's pray. Hallelujah. I've seen teenagers fall by the wayside. I've seen parents lay over their caskets and scream and cry. They're not saved. They're lost. After they knew what it was like to feel the power of God. Jake, a young man in his early 30s, had everything going for him. Went to a man's church that the pastor knows who he is. Jake hunted with all of my
friends that I grew up with. I hunted with Jake a few years ago at our hunting camp in Tennessee. Joked around with him. He's been backslid for quite a few years, raised in church all of his life. Had a beautiful wife, two beautiful children, and one child on the way. God dealt with Ivan. Prayer. Ivan skinned to him, and Ivan called him and said, Jake, don't go fishing tomorrow. Him and Jody was fishing buddies, and Ken, and said, don't go fishing tomorrow. I feel so strong that if you go fishing, one of you is not going to come back. Oh, he just kind of laughed. Oh, Ivan, you're just concerned. We'll be all right. And as I fished in the same lake after that, they showed me the same tree. Had the motor going. It was cruising down the bayou there in Louisiana. Stumps and trees stick up out of it everywhere. And they dropped a lure, and driver of the boat, I don't remember which one, told the other one, said, take the wheel. I'm going to try to find this. Not knowing whether he didn't hear him or not. He let go of the wheel and went down to try to find the lure. And they hit the tree head on, doing about 30, 35 miles an hour. Killed Jake instantly. He was worth thousands of dollars. His business was booming. Oh, God. He had a chance the day before. He was warned. God always gives us warning. That's why services like this are so important. God could be talking to somebody right now, and you not listen, and it'd be your last opportunity to ever pray. Hallelujah. It was sad. It was a sad funeral. He left his wife with a kid on the way, two beautiful children at a young age, a great big business that was booming. You might say, it can't happen to me, preacher. Don't you put another coin in the slot machine of life and pull the lever and walk out of this service tonight. Because it might ring up death. And eternity will find you. I want us to pray. I want us to pray for every child and every young person right now, that conviction would light in this house, that God would touch every child. Children, you better hear this, preacher. There's a real hell. You need the Holy Ghost. Every child better hear this, preacher. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to let you face reality. You need God in your life. You need to know what it's like to feel tears running down your face, crying before the Lord. I need somebody to help me pray right now. I got good news for you. God can deliver you. He delivered Samson from a lion. He delivered Daniel from a whole den of lions. He delivered David from the paw of the lion. I can give you scripture after scripture. There's deliverance in this house right now. I want everybody praying all over the house. Everybody lifting your voice. I don't want you to stop praying. I don't want you to pray for 2 minutes and then quit. I'm concerned about young people that don't know how to cry. I'm concerned about young men that don't know how to fall on the altar and say, if I die tonight, am I going to heaven? There's a real hell, sir! And the flames are leaping up after you tonight. And God is reaching, saying, I can deliver you. I can feel you. I'm bigger than that lion. I'm greater than his power. But you have to fall before me. I've got to see some tears. I've got to hear your voice. What about it, young person? What about it, young person? What about it, child? They make caskets for 8-year-olds. They make caskets for 17-year-olds. They make caskets for 20-year-olds. Everybody is destined to die. You need to get a hold of the Lord. You need to get a hold of the Lord. Come on, God can fill you with the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, I'd be in this altar with my hands lifted, with my face buried. Come on, God wants to do it tonight. There's a greater lion of the tribe of Judah. Church, have you quit praying? I want this church to dig in like you've not dug in a long time.
I want some of these elders of this church to pray right now. I want you to go back to some of those old days and those old apostolic services where conviction came down, where people couldn't walk out of the door without tears streaming down their face. I pray for some elders to pray for that same spirit to walk in this house tonight. Would you do that, Grandma? Come on, grandparent. Would you pray for some of that old-fashioned conviction to grip the hearts of this church tonight? I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to push this altar call. I have preached to the best of my ability. I have been anointed of God. I know we've had a lot of powerful services, but there is such a spirit wanting to walk in this house. The church ought to be lifted in prayer. The church ought to be praying with everything they have. God, do it tonight. God, do it tonight. God, do it tonight. I'm asking right now for the elders of this church to get out of your pews and come up here right now and fill in behind the rest of these here. Would you do that? Grandma, would you come and help us pray tonight? Come on, I want everybody that's in their pews to get out of them right now. Every visitor. I don't want anybody left in their pews. If you can. If you can't, because of your health, that's the only excuse. Everybody right now. Everybody. Let's fill this altar with old-fashioned prayer. Let's fill this altar with old-fashioned prayer. Come on, closer. Come on, elders, we need your help tonight. Come on, Grandma, we need your help tonight. Oh, what a spirit of God that's in this house. Oh, what a spirit of the Lord that's in this place. Come on, you need to cry out to the Lord. God, if I've ever needed you to protect me, I need you today. I have an adversary, but you are greater. Come on, find you a child to pray with. Come on, parent. Come on, parent. On, it's starting to feel like an old-time altar in this place. What a beautiful sound of people praying right now. What a beautiful sound in the ears of God that says they've acknowledged I can help them. They've acknowledged if they don't get a hold of me, they'll never make it. Find a young person to pray with. I challenge every adult right now. Make sure every young person has somebody praying with them. Come on, open your eyes and look around. Make sure every child has somebody praying with them. Come on, it's not time to look around and let them pray by themselves. Come on, come on. You need God at your school, young girl. You need God at your school, young man. Get a hold of the Lord. Learn how to pray. There's a devil after you in your life.
Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Let your spirit move through me. Here I am. Here I am, to you. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am.
Come on, you better get a hold of God tonight. Watch your spirit draws you. You better get a hold of the Lord. You don't want to die and go to hell. You don't want to die lost. Adult, pray the Holy Ghost down. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Can we show some desperation at this altar tonight? Can we show some desperation at this altar tonight? Come on, as they continue to sing, let's pray, let's pray. Amen. If you need to go with someone else and pray with them, go ahead. Oh God, let's get a hold of the Lord. Do something right now. I want everybody to stand. I want all the adults to back up, and I want the young people to stay up front. All the children stay up front. All the teenagers stay up front. I know what it's like to see this church filled with a powerful youth group that was bringing revival to their church. Some have fell by the wayside. Some have grew up and married and gone on.
Some have moved to different places, all for whatever reasons. It's not the same youth group it used to be. You know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing God raise up another one that's strong. I'm seeing God in the process, Brother Nathan, of raising up another one that you was used to. Talking about one that's full of power, full of prayer. They know how to witness. They know how to bring teenagers to the house of God. There is a youth group growing strong in this church right now that has potential, that has great, great potential to do exploits for God, to do great things for God. And I defy every devil that would try to hinder them and try to steal them and try to stop them and shut them down. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I want you young men to get together right now. Take each other by the hand. I want you young girls to take each other by the hand. I want some adults to come around them right now. I want us to begin to pray right now for the youth group of this church. Come on, I'm talking about some heavy prayer. Hallelujah.
Here I am.
We defy the lion spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Get your hands off of them. They belong to God. They belong to God. Hallelujah.
To thee.
Halabashata. Yoko Talabashata. Woo! Come on, young men. Let the Holy Ghost get on you tonight. Woo!
Here I am.
Come on, preachers, lay hands on them. Come in front of them if you got to. Hallelujah! Come on, let an anointing be released in the name of Jesus. Come on, teach them how to pray, God. Teach them how to pray, God. Your kids needs this. Your children needs this. There's too much sin in their school. There's too much sin in their neighborhood. They need to get a hold of God. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus.
Myself to you, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Let your spirit move through me. Here I am. Here I am. your spirit move through me. Here I am. I give all myself to you. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Let your spirit move through. Here I am.
Don't stop. God's not done.
I give all myself.
Hallelujah.
To you. Here I am.
Hallelujah. I want you young people to pray with each other. I want you to hug each other and pray with each other right now. Some of you young men right now. Come on. Come on, some of you young girls. Hallelujah.
Here
you need each other. I said you need each other. Come on, pray loud. Hallelujah. Come on, parents. Let's help them. You young men need each other. Hallelujah. Come on, there's a beautiful move of God right now. Come on, don't stop it. Don't quench it. Let's be attentive to God's Spirit. Come on, let's yield to the Spirit. Go to each other when you get done praying with that one. Go to another one. I need you. I need you. Come on, pray with each other. Pray with each other.
Here I am.
It's not time to let a spirit of division get a hold of us. Come on, young people, let's pull together.
You.
Here
I am.
Yes, yes, yes.
Just let your spirit move through me. Here I am.
Come on, we need to linger in this. They need this more than they need a ball game. They need this more than they need an amusement park. Come on, come on. We're so quick to let the Spirit of God leave us. Come on, savor it. Hold on to it for a few moments. Young people need. They need an encouragement from some adults instead of talking about them. Amen. They need some adults to come by and tell them you love them, you're praying for them. Have a service. Make it a point to find a young person. Shake their hand. Tell them you love them. Tell them you're concerned about them. Tell them you're praying for them. If they ever need any help, you're there. If they ever need anybody to talk to, you're there. You're not going to run and tell what they told you. Not going to talk about the secrets they shared with you that they were struggling with, but you're going to be there to help them. Amen. Sometimes we forget, I once was old, or I once was young, but now I'm old. Sometimes we forget that. Forget that when you was a youth, you had problems. You had trials. You had temptations. Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, you can say what you want to, it's rougher on these kids than it was, Grandma, when you was their age. You didn't have pornography on every shelf. You didn't have people openly claiming to be homosexual in front of you and telling you they was proud of it. You didn't have all that garbage when you was a young person like they have it today. That they need some prayers from some adults. They need some love, some attention. Amen. Some concern. Praise God. There's been a move of the Holy Ghost tonight. I don't want to stop what's going on. Y'all can keep praying. Amen. We have two more nights this week. Two more nights. Amen. Two more nights. This revival here. Let's get somebody out to church. What are we going to do with these two nights this week? We're going to come in just unconcerned, or we're going to come in with the same fire you've been coming in with? We're going to come in and get in these prayer rooms just like you've been getting. I'm proud of this church. You've been getting here praying. You've been calling out to God. Your worship's been awesome. Awesome. Your sensitivity to the Holy Ghost is awesome. You can tell when a church starts praying. We're going to do it again the next two nights. We're going to try to put everything we've got into it. Amen, amen, amen. Let's worship the Lord again and thank Him for what He's done. Let's praise Him for what He's done in this service. Hallelujah. Every voice lifted.